Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. Today, Brittany and I will be sharing what can cause acid reflux or heartburn. We're also going to be sharing foods that you can eat to help reduce the frequency and the intensity of acid reflux. And the question you may be asking, how can I get rid of acid reflux? And how can I reduce that burning and discomfort I feel in my throat several times a day or a week? Because that can be pretty miserable. If you were in my office with me, you might ask, Melanie, what am I eating that's causing this terrible heartburn? Hi, I'm Melanie Beasley, and I'm a registered and licensed dietitian. And many years ago, I also struggled with some heartburn and acid reflux. And so I can identify how miserable it is. And now I help at least, I would say, 3 clients a week who are experiencing reflux or heartburn. So after counseling clients for over 30 years, I now know what works and what doesn't work for most clients. Mine was from the food that I was sensitive to and I needed to take out of my diet. I was taking a lot of Tums. I was on double the medication of Acifex just to try to suppress that darn heartburn. And I think if we could check the number of clients I have helped with their digestion, it would probably be in the hundreds. It really is a nationwide problem. But before we talk about symptoms associated with heartburn or acid reflux, let's bring in our co-host, Brittany Vincent. Hi, Brittany.
Hello. Yeah, it really is a huge problem nationwide. And I believe those antacid medications are one of the top prescribed medications for people.
And they're on them for years. Yes. And they were designed to be on for 2 weeks.
Yep. We can talk about this throughout the show, but if you are on medication, you can get off. It doesn't mean that you have to be on it for the rest of your life.
But don't stop cold turkey.
No.
That's not what we're suggesting because you'll get rebound acid.
Yep. Definitely don't want to do that. But with the help of one of us, it is really possible. I see somebody at least once a week that is struggling with acid reflux.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a little bit of detective work to determine what are the underlying issues or the underlying triggers for that individual. But like you said, hundreds of clients that we've helped over the years get rid of their acid reflux.
So the message today is hope.
Yes, hope.
You don't have to be miserable. Let's explain the difference between chronic acid reflux and just heartburn. Heartburn is just a symptom of GERD. So GERD, which is that chronic reflux, some people experience that burning sensation in the middle of their chest, feels like a tremendous pressure or heart attack. And in reality, it's just a serious case of acid reflux. Some people just experience some burning in their throat or even a bitter taste in their mouth. Often heartburn wakes people up in the middle of the night with a burning sensation in their throat, chest pressure. And if you have chronic acid reflux, you might have some other symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a chronic cough. You might have a lot of throat clearing, or you lose your voice with laryngitis, or you might even have that kind of bitter taste in your mouth all the time. Maybe you struggle with chronic sinus problems and mucus production. This can definitely be from acid reflux. After working with several clients with digestive disorders, I realized that getting acid reflux or heartburn once in a while isn't unusual, but some people suffer from heartburn discomfort all the time, even daily, and they have discomfort almost every time they eat. About 20% of the population has what is called GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, and that is a chronic acid reflux condition. It needs to be addressed nutritionally and sometimes medically because it can cause scarring or tissue damage in the throat called Barrett's esophagus disease, which is a condition of the lining of the esophagus. And the Mayo Clinic reports that Barrett's can turn into cancer. So heartburn and reflux are serious health problems. I know I had a client and she had 2 different surgeries because of Barrett's esophagus before she came to us. And she had to have her throat expanded because she was having difficulty swallowing. And really, it was some food that she was eating we removed and she doesn't have that problem anymore.
That's amazing.
Sometimes food can be really magical.
It really can. Yeah.
Or really, really mean.
That's true. So let's talk about what foods that people might be eating that are causing this heartburn and acid reflux. A common food that gives people heartburn is fast food. Probably not surprising for you all to hear that. And thinking about what's in fast food, that could be triggering. Well, there's a lot of things.
Well, let's say it together. No food comes through a window.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's a window, do not get the food there.
That's a very good rule of thumb. Because, you know, any food through a window is going to be a lot of processed carbohydrates. And those processed carbohydrates turn into sugar.
And how are we cooking them fast?
Exactly.
We're dunking them in inflammatory oils like canola, peanut, soybean, that's heated over and over and over.
And that heating over and over and over makes them even more inflammatory for our body. Those processed carbohydrates that you find in fast food, that is very inflammatory for your digestive tract. And that, for a lot of people, is what triggers the acid reflux. It's just the processed carbohydrates. And then you add those refined oils, like you mentioned, Melanie, and it could be a recipe for a lot of heartburn.
I agree.
So if you are somebody that maybe you get fast food on your way to work in the morning or on your lunch break, and then later in the day, you are struggling with your heartburn, maybe that is the first thing to replace that fast food with something quick and easy at home. Maybe it's just hard-boiled eggs. If that is the case for you, I would suggest eliminating fast food for a period of time to see if your symptoms improve. You know, I think another big trigger is that Friday night family pizza. And a lot of people blame the tomato sauce. In reality, pizza is like a triple whammy. You've got the crust, which is processed carbohydrates, high amounts of carbohydrates, and then,
amount of gluten to get that stretchy crust dough.
Yep. And gluten, we're going to talk about a little later, is a big trigger for heartburn for people. And then you've got dairy.
Mm-hmm.
All that cheese, that ooey gooey cheese, sometimes that can be a trigger for people. You know, inevitably the pizza, unless you're making it yourself, you know everything that's on it, that pizza is also going to have those refined oils as well. So pizza, for many reasons, can be very inflammatory and triggering for reflux.
So I like to tell my clients, because you want that pizza night with the family.
Mm-hmm.
So an alternative is if you take a good, clean, sweet Italian sausage, push that raw meat down in the base of the brownie pan or whatever pan you have, and then top it like it's a pizza crust with some clean ingredients, and then put that in the oven, cook it till it's bubbly. Sometimes
it's
that's
yummy.
The case. But when I was at my worst with the heartburn, not knowing what it was causing my symptoms, which was gluten, dairy, corn, even just a cup of herbal tea at 5 o'clock at night would trigger those heartburn symptoms. So was the herbal tea the problem? No. So really what's happening is when you're eating foods that or taking medications that are creating this acid splash into your esophagus, you're creating a wound. Well, if you have a burn wound and you put anything on that burn wound, it's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Tea, a banana, a potato, it's going to hurt because it's a wound. Once you heal that wound by removing what's causing it, then we get a whole host of foods back. My clients love that they can eat tomato sauce again and they can eat a spicy Mexican meal. And so there's
hope.
That
is so true.
We're eliminating. Let's get to the root cause.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly. I find the same thing. You figure out the root cause and then you're able to actually eat more things.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. There's also a great recipe on our website for a sheet pan pizza.
Oh, yes.
That's yummy too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you just put all your favorite pizza toppings on there. And I really think it's satisfying and gives you what you're looking for with the pizza. I do know that research tells us people who track what they're eating manage their symptoms better because it's just much easier to identify what the actual triggers are. We're so busy, so to pay attention to what we're eating and when we're getting reflux, it's way too difficult to keep track of that. I mean, half the time when I ask my clients what they ate yesterday, they can't remember everything.
No, but I did have a client, Brittany, I have to tell you this. She had such problems with acid reflux every day. And when she came to me, she said, I think there's something magical in beets. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I roasted a bunch of beets from my garden and I just ate that all day and I got no acid reflux. So really it was what she removed to eat the beets, but I thought that was so cute.
Yeah, I love it. Do you remember what her triggers were?
Gluten and dairy.
Yeah.
So now she can eat her beets in a salad and have the balsamic vinegar and it doesn't cause pain because you put vinegar on a wound.
Yes.
Guess what? It burns.
It makes
it worse. She thought she had to eliminate vinegar.
Yeah. So if you're struggling, maybe you just take a week. Write down what you're eating, write down your symptoms, and then you might see patterns too. Mm-hmm. Also, if you have a hunch in your mind, maybe that gluten is a trigger for you, it's kind of easy to ignore. But when it's written on paper and you see that hard data, I think it's more motivating and that's really helpful for us to look at too. If you were to make an appointment to
bring in that food journal.
Yes.
So helpful. You know, another thing that's interesting, I'll have many clients that tried the Whole 30 diet.
Yeah.
And they'll come in, I'm like, how did you feel? I felt great.
Uh-huh. I hear that all the time.
Yeah. So that's really good. That's really good information for us.
Yep. And we're definitely not saying that you need to be as limiting as the Whole 30, but, you know, what's Whole 30? It's gluten-free, dairy-free. Which are two
sugar-free.
Yep.
Real food.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, we've been talking about gluten, but we're going to talk more about gluten later and give you some alternatives because I do think that's really important to think about what to add into your diet. Mm-hmm. But I want to mention beverages.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah, because there are some beverages that can trigger reflux for some people. You know, carbonated beverages, definitely pop of any kind, can trigger that reflux. Alcohol, beer, wine, liquor, all of those can be triggering. And in a lot of cases, those are high carbohydrate or high sugar beverages as well.
A lot of times that sugar triggers that heartburn.
Yep. And then for some individuals, just a sparkling water. Too much of that could possibly be triggering.
Yeah, that triggers me. I can do one, but if I do another one because I'm feeling woo, two in one day, woohoo, it does. It gives me heartburn. So I'm, you know, always a weak link when it comes to that stuff. Well, I think it's time for break. There's so much conflicting information out there in the social media. So when the British Medical Journal published the finding that ultra-processed food is directly linked to 32 harmful effects to health, we needed to share this information with all of our Dishing Up Nutrition listeners. This report said that ultra-processed food is linked to 32 harmful effects, including higher risk of heart disease, cancer, type 2 diabetes, mental illness, and early death. Yikes. In the U.S., more than half of the average diet now contains ultra-processed foods, which include cereal, box-prepared meals, protein bars, and fast food. And as listeners of Dishing Up Nutrition, you know these products are high in sugar, refined oils, and chemical additives. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We have been talking about acid reflux today, but before we get back into our topic, I want to mention that our Nutrition for Weight Loss Foundations class starts the week of May 13th. So that's coming up. I am excited to be teaching at the St. Paul location on Thursday evenings. There are a variety of different class options at different locations. And then, of course, we offer that virtually as well. If you are interested in learning more, you can give us a call at 651-699-3438 or visit our website at weightandwellness.com.
So before we went to break, we were talking about acid reflux and GERD. So just to revisit, acid reflux is the spilling of acid into the esophagus. And according to a 2016 study published in the Journal of American Medical Association, the esophagus is not designed to have hydrochloric acid from our stomachs to creep into this part of the digestive system. So the end result is burning and eventual scarring over time. New findings suggest that the root cause of GERD are tied to abnormal inflammatory responses from a variety of irritants. And as dietitians, we want to address some in the diet that can contribute. There's evidence that some patients with GERD don't experience much acid reflux or even have high levels of acid production. In fact, it can be the opposite in many cases. GERD can be present in patients with low stomach acid. I've had several clients this year alone that are not even aware that acid reflux was occurring, but they began to have problems with coughing, mucus production, and difficulty swallowing, as well as teeth erosion from the enamel. So all symptoms to keep an eye out for, there can be something called silent GERD.
Yes, I have had clients experience that as well. And before we started today, you were telling me about a client's story. I love hearing success stories. Do you mind sharing it with our listeners?
I think people can really relate and understand better when they can see what a client has gone through with their acid reflux. So this client has many different health concerns. First of all, she's been on medication for many years to control her heartburn. And from this medication, she developed bone thinning called osteoporosis. So she knew this was a side effect of this medication, and she came to us to try to get to the root cause of her heartburn because her ultimate goal was to improve her bone density. We worked on first what was causing her acid reflux. It took us many, many months after removing the irritants to slowly reduce the amount of medication that she was taking for acid reflux. And we wanted to do it slowly, replace it with some healing supplements, and just making sure that her food was not irritating her further. My client's sensitivity was actually to gluten, big surprise. So when she eats totally gluten-free, she just doesn't have any heartburn. But if she gets just a little bit of gluten, even a little bit, the reflux comes back. So she's learned that to be reflux-free, she actually needs to be 100% gluten. And she's fine with that because her pain motivated her. Now, change is not easy, but it can be powerful. And the other positive outcomes for her health is she has increased her bone density from eating real food. I make sure she's getting 4 ounces of meat with each meal and at least 2 cups of vegetables and some natural fat. And this meal plan has given her bones the nutrients to rebuild, whereas the acid reflux, she wasn't absorbing those nutrients. She's able to travel. She's gotten back into the kitchen and her energy is back. It's so rewarding in our job to see people get their health back where they forget that they did not feel well.
Yeah.
You know, painful acid reflux just causes that painful heartburn and you can't think about anything else. So how do you become gluten-free when you grew up on bread and you love bread, but bread doesn't love you back?
Great question.
Well, there's a great book based on research is Gluten Freedom by Alessio Fasano. Also, if you're a listener and not a reader, Cassie Wienus, she's a weight and wellness dietitian, recorded a video class going gluten-free with real food. It's amazing. She has a great job. She has a personal story, and it will give you the information needed to understand how to do a gluten-free eating plan.
In the book, Gluten Freedom, he explains the damage that gluten can do to the intestinal lining and how that damage can lead to acid reflux and so many other health problems and even ADHD, memory problems, of course, other digestive symptoms such as diarrhea or constipation. The list goes on and on. But it is really nice to read the book and understand the biochemistry of the digestive system. but most clients just want to know what to eat.
Yeah. Give me the bottom line.
Yep. And that class that you mentioned, Melanie, that Cassie teaches, that's exactly what she does. She provides you with what to eat. Just a recap, if you have listened to us before, you've probably heard us talk about gluten, but gluten is basically anything with flour. It's found in wheat, barley, spelt, kamut.
Rye and oats.
Yep.
And here's the thing. A lot of my clients will say, I used to always be able to eat bread. Mm-hmm. Or what about sourdough? I'm getting that a lot. Here's the problem is that gluten wheat went through hybridization, several hybridizations where they changed the structure of the gluten molecule. And in the 90s, it was a big one. And that's where we started seeing so much more inflammation from eating gluten than we've ever seen. So yes, could I eat gluten in my childhood? Absolutely could. Now it destroys me. So it's not that your body has changed so much as the food has changed. And that same wheat and flour, when you put it through sourdough fermentation, might help a little, but it's still very, very inflammatory.
Yes.
So if it tells you anything, if you go to our website and look at our wealth of recipes, so many recipes, there's not one recipe that has gluten in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it tells you how we feel.
Well, and that's the beauty of eating real food is that it eliminates gluten naturally.
Yeah.
Protein sources, meat, fish, eggs, dairy, if you can tolerate it. Mm-hmm. I mean, dairy doesn't trigger acid reflux for everybody.
True.
Vegetables, of course.
Fruit, nuts, seeds.
Avocados.
Spices.
All of those things are naturally gluten-free. And when people are making that change, I encourage them to think of what are the foods that you love that are naturally gluten-free?
I love that attitude.
I think that it helps feel less restrictive. And then also, instead of saying, I can't have it, say, I'm choosing not to have gluten because it triggers my acid reflux.
Yes, it's all how you frame it.
It really is. Because if you keep telling yourself you can't have something, human nature is you rebel and you're going to want it really
bad. The deprivation brain sets you up for going off of the plan. It really does. So you have to really frame that food as harming you, harmful, the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what you can eat. There's plenty of food out there that's
gluten-free
there really and delicious.
And if you are somebody that struggles with acid reflux, but you are eating a lot of processed food right now, I would say first things first, just reduce or eliminate the processed carbohydrates. Focus on more real food. And for some people, just that change eliminates their acid reflux.
Yes.
You know, not everybody has to 100% go gluten-free. So do that as step one.
Mm-hmm.
If at that point you're still struggling.
That 100% is a probably a good clue for you.
Yep, I think so. And I tell my clients to think of it as an experiment. Eliminate gluten 100% for I say 3 weeks.
Yes.
You know, you can do anything for 3 weeks.
You can.
And if you feel better, well, there you go. You've got your answer.
Yeah.
If you don't feel better, then we're here to help you to dig a little bit deeper to figure it out. And then I would say the majority of the time, my clients do not end up adding it back in.
Yes. I have several clients that when they tried to add it back in, they were like, I didn't realize it triggered my migraines.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize not only the heartburn, but they would get migraines and achy joints.
Yeah. There's a lot of symptoms that can be related back to gluten. And you said this earlier, everything's relative. You don't realize how poorly you feel until you're feeling a lot better.
Better is better.
Yeah. So give it a go for 3 weeks if you are suspicious, and then you'll have your answer.
But Brittany, we were talking about some key supplements that we also find beneficial with people with chronic heartburn.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those you mentioned was acidophilus. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Acidophilus is very prevalent in our stomach, our vaginal tract, our bladder.
A friendly probiotic.
Yep. It's a good bacteria. Acidophilus is a friendly, good bacteria. And it's just one specific strain of bacteria. But we find it very, very helpful for acid reflux. I always recommend, if you're willing, to do the powder refrigerated version and take a half teaspoon before bed. Mm-hmm. If you struggle with acid reflux throughout the day, you can even just put it in your water and sip on it throughout the day. And
cool water, so you don't want to kill the little guys.
Yes, good point. You don't want to add it to your coffee or your hot tea. And then that, along with modifying your food, it helps immensely.
It does. It does help. Yeah, I love that. And so let's recap. Heartburn is that burning feeling in the chest caused by stomach acid traveling into the throat. And if heartburn happens over and over, and it turns into what we call GERD. And what some of the symptoms of acid reflux? Well, you may have that sour taste in your mouth, cough, hiccups, hoarse voice, even bad breath, mucus production, tightening where it's difficult to swallow. And some of those causes can be the food that you're eating, such as gluten, dairy, refined oils that you see in fast food, alcohol, coffee, and sugar. So we suggest keeping track of what you're eating, and then you'll know the foods that are possibly giving you trouble. Other possible causes of acid reflux could be smoking. Pregnancy, of course, caused the baby's pushing on that stomach. Medications such as non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as ibuprofen, Aleve, and aspirin are very hard on the stomach. Bacterial infections, stress, I mean, there's a multitude, but it's helpful if you meet with a professional, somebody that can help you navigate these waters so you're not overwhelmed and you can get that relief.
Yes.
And that's what we're here for.
Absolutely. And I do want to touch on, the assumption is if you have acid reflux, you are producing too much stomach acid.
Yes.
In the majority of the time, it's actually the opposite problem that's happening. So that acid in our stomach, the hydrochloric acid, it's really, really crucial for our body. We want that to be a very acidic environment to kill off any pathogens and then to help to absorb and digest our food. And what happens is if our stomach is not acidic enough, that causes our lower esophageal sphincter, which is basically the gate between our esophagus and our stomach.
Yes.
So if we don't have enough acid, that lower esophageal sphincter, that gate, will not close properly.
And would you say that's where people get more burping?
Yeah,
from the
splashback? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that can be another underlying cause of acid reflux, is actually not having enough stomach acid.
Which is very frightening for someone who comes in to think about.
Yeah.
Because they feel like it's an abundance of acid.
Yes. Yeah.
So I remember reading a research article, and it said if the hydrochloric acid in your stomach, the volume of it was really splashing, that real intense hydrochloric acid that breaks down food, if you had enough and it was really splashing up, it would bore a hole in your esophagus.
Mm.
So the little splashes that you're getting are really more indication of the esophageal sphincter dysfunction than the acid being produced overly much in your stomach. It's a hard concept to grasp.
It is.
But we see it in clinic over and over and over.
We really do. Yeah. And if you're not producing enough stomach acid, and then you're taking Tums or a prescription antacid, it's just lowering that acid even more, obviously. That's the point of them.
Relief. You want relief.
Yeah. But then, again, that negatively affects your ability to absorb your food and your nutrients, which could contribute to iron deficiency. You know, you mentioned earlier your client that had osteoporosis.
Yes.
So it can become a much bigger problem.
You just feel like you're suppressing that heartburn.
Yes.
When in fact, what you're putting in there is creating damage. It's also these acid reducing chews, Tums and Galviscon, all that, they have aluminum.
Yeah.
They have calcium carbonate, which builds up in plaque in the blood vessels. So I had a client and she was chronically chewing on Tums all day long. Mm. And her calcium score for cardiovascular disease was very, very high.
Oh, wow.
So there's damage to this. Mm-hmm. It's not just about suppressing your heartburn.
Yep. So some signs, you know, you mentioned burping, the acid reflux, if you see undigested food in your stool. So mm-hmm. we are actually encouraging you to look at your stool.
Yes.
And yeah, I recently did a Ask a Nutritionist podcast about digestive enzymes, and I dive a little bit deeper into this entire topic and, of course, the topic of digestive enzymes. So if you're interested, you can check that one out.
So, Brittany, I happen to know you and I both are gluten and dairy intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk to our listeners a little bit about what we eat.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it feels when you tell a client, they look at you with, you know, big owl eyes and just, what am I going to eat? Mm-hmm. And so we've been living like this for quite a while.
Yep, we have.
So what'd you have for breakfast?
I had leftover egg bake with turkey breakfast sausage, onions, mushrooms, peas. And then I had...
No cheese.
Yep. No cheese, no bread. Still tasted delicious. And then I had some leftover coleslaw on the side for some extra veg.
That is a fabulous breakfast.
Yeah.
Only
and
a
it's
dietitian.
Easy.
I love it. And when we have a great egg bake recipe on our website.
Yes, we do.
So I can't do dairy. So when I make the egg bake, you can do extra bacon if you feel sorry for yourself because you can't have the dairy.
Yum.
Well, what I had for dinner last night was a big piece of wild-caught trout. And I like to take it and I dredge it in egg and then almond flour with like a catfish seasoning in my air fryer.
Yeah.
And then I also, beside it, I air fried asparagus, seasoned asparagus that I just spray with avocado oil. And then I had some cubed sweet potatoes.
Perfect.
And I love, for the fat, I love to take a good mayo, an avocado oil mayo, and I chop up pickled jalapenos and make a tartar sauce. Now, when I had acid reflux, there was no way I could eat that. But one of our restaurants here that has great fish in Minneapolis, that's their tartar sauce.
Oh.
So when I asked the chef what was in it because of food allergies I have, and he came out and told me. So it's a favorite in our family now.
Yeah.
And it is pickled jalapenos chopped into mayo.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Sounds great. And then you could use that same concept of dredging in the eggs and the almond flour. You could do that with any sort of chicken or fish.
And if you're not where you can do jalapenos, you can do dill pickles.
Yep.
Right. So it was fun to talk about acid reflux and GERD with you today, having personal experience with it. I love giving our clients relief. So if you feel like you need some help, we encourage you to reach out, make an appointment with one of us so we can help you navigate those waters and just get your health back.
Thank you so much for listening today.
Our goal at Nutritional Weight and Wellness is to help each person experience better health through eating real food. It's a simple yet powerful message. Eating real food is life-changing. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.